Lori Prox here with Dr. Kathy Todd, a medical doctor at the Valdez Medical Clinic and also emergency doctor for Providence Valdez Medical Center. Not just emergency, actually, you do surgeries there. You're kind of
we're on the staff.
Yeah, all around everything. We have talked through a lot of things in our many interviews here about COVID-19, but I wanted to talk a little bit about testing, and then at first, we couldn't get everyone tested due to supplies, and now we've ramped that up, and there's a testing program going on. But what about retesting? Because we talked last time, testing is really just a moment in time. So, you know, once you start this,
what we would love to do is have a test that you could do at home, like a pregnancy test would be, you know, you go buy one from the store and you dip this little thing in there and you see it, it says plus or minus. Wouldn't that be nice to know? Because, for instance, if we, depending on how we reopen schools, there's going to be a lot of kids who have a runny nose. You know, you always sent your kids to school with a runny nose if they didn't have a fever and they weren't very sick, and here's a box of Kleenex. But is that COVID or not? And wouldn't it be nice to keep them home that one day, test them with your home test? Maybe it takes 2 or 3 hours to instead of 15
and
minutes.
I guess I never thought of that, because it's such an invasive test, and it's
not that invasive, but your average kindergartner
is not going to like it, probably.
Well, but you know, could they get it to that point? Because if what you have to do is schedule a test at the hospital and go over to the hospital and get, you know, have somebody come out and meet your car and do the test and send it off to the state, and it gets back 3 or 4 or 5 days later, depending on what day of the week it is and whether we ever get any airplanes back and all that sort of stuff, then your kid's home for 5 days with their cold, whereas they would have been home for 0 days with their cold if you'd had this, or one day with their cold.
Yeah.
And believe me, everybody's working on that, but we are not even close to being there now.
But it's I think everyone's figured out this is not going away quickly. So I think once people realize that, then we're looking for more long-term
I got asked twice yesterday. Somebody's employer made them call, and somebody else called because they knew it was a question, because they work with the special needs population. They said, you know, I went to Anchorage to a family gathering, small family gathering, but in Anchorage, and I ran a fever on my way home. And so should I go back to work or not? Wouldn't it be nice to have an instantaneous test? Well, we did a test on her, but it's not instantaneous, and it's not cheap, and it's not easy. And that kind of questions are going to come up more and more as it's kind of just circulating. And the other person, their work wanted to know whether they could come back, and they'd been to small family gatherings in Anchorage and Fairbanks over the previous week on their week off.
And the recommendation still is to stay at home if you don't know or don't have your test results back.
Exactly.
So he's stuck staying home from work until that,
or when we also analyze what it is he does at work, and they thought that he could probably be the person who was the guy out in the field all by himself, the only one in the truck. You can scrub the truck down before somebody else uses it, touches the steering wheel, maybe has COVID on it. But some people don't have jobs like that. The person who's a personal caregiver for special needs people, they can't, you know, stay away because they're supposed to be touching people as part of their job. So we'd love to have all that, but there's a lot of things that we don't have yet, or maybe we'll never have.
Yeah. We're seeing a lot of national news, and you seeing a lot of information about people with cases around the globe. But I wanted to ask you about people with COVID in Alaska. There are several active cases, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're in the hospital. And compared to some other states, we're fairly fortunate that we don't have a lot of people in the hospital. But now we're reading things about people who've had COVID ahead of us, and the symptoms maybe are not going away, and those types of things. So I wanted to ask you specifically about Alaskans with COVID, what they're experiencing, and
I'm going to tell you that I really don't know. Thank goodness we still don't have any in Valdez that have been really sick. But people talk about pre-existing conditions, and you know that's true. If you have asthma, you should be more worried than if you think you're hale and hearty. But there are people who have been hale and hearty who, you know, came into the hospital in extremis and left a month later, just barely able to get into the car. And are they going to get better and better and better and better? Or are they going to stay kind of impaired for forever so that they're never going to run another marathon again? We don't know. And there's even some speculation, or not speculation, but some cases where you have somebody who didn't think that they were impaired, got a pretty asymptomatic, wimpy case, and then just is not back to being able to run the 5K as fast as they did before. So there's pre-existing conditions, and then what if you catch something afterwards? Is it good? We don't know, because this is a brand new virus.
Yeah. And what are you sharing, or what information are you getting from hospitals out of Anchorage? I know there's been a big case at a nursing home, 46 cases, I think 19 residents, 27 caregivers.
Yeah. And that's how many positive tests?
Positive tests. So what have you learned
I think, I probably shouldn't speculate, but there's one person on a ventilator a couple days ago out of the whole state. So, you know, it's running true to form. If you start testing enough, you find a bunch of asymptomatic people, which is how it got into the nursing home in the first place, I'm sure. Either one of their new residents brought it in, or one of the caregivers who, they don't sleep there. They go home and they're very careful, but they come back and forth. And so you have a whole bunch of caregivers and a whole bunch of residents who probably passed it around within the facility, but also who got it from somewhere. Where'd they get it? Oh, wow. You know, we don't know. But they're all asymptomatic, you know, lots of asymptomatic people, including some of the old people.
Yay. Have they learned anything? What are they learning there about surfaces, or is it due to the nature of being in close contact in that type of situation?
It's mostly close contact. That seems to be the main thing if you're just breathing around somebody, you're putting out some virus. If you're talking, or singing, or giving a speech loudly, they go farther if you're putting out more air and with more force. So it's mostly that. But early on, people wanted to know on general principles, and especially for like groceries and things like that, that we think it hangs around for about a day on cardboard and about 4 or 5 days on things like stainless steel and plastic. So you'd think it would be, you know, it would be hiding in the crevasses of the cardboard. But no, it just doesn't do that well on cardboard.
I think people were pretty concerned with that on a high level. So I think washing your hands, though, after you've gone.
Well, right. So I don't wipe off my groceries when I come from the store. A lot of times I'm buying things for later, and I'm going to let them sit in the cupboard before I ever touch them again. But I definitely wash my hands after I put away the groceries. You know, I wash my hands after I come back from the store. I wash my hands between, and if I come from the hospital where I wash my hands, then I get in my house and I wash my hands again. Every time you make a transition, washing your hands, because you don't know what somebody else touched and what you touched.
And sometimes I think people wait to make a transition until, oh, there's a case.
Yeah. And
so to that end, we've been fortunate. We did have one seafood worker here, a non-resident, tested positive. And we discussed this before. I won't go through the medical, but thinking that maybe he was a little past the giving it to others.
They're now finding more and now they can test better. They're finding more and more that people might be still shedding virus 3 weeks later, but those aren't really whole viruses. They're like pieces of virus, and the test picks up those also. So probably if you still are shedding viruses 3 or 4 weeks after you had your active case, or after you first tested positive, then, or the last time you could possibly have caught it because you're now in your cabin secluded, it's probably just leftovers those aren't contagious.
We've been saying there'll be another one, but still waiting. But a lot of people don't make change until
exactly. And I would hate for everybody to just ignore the threat until their friend and neighbor who was in the pink of life had a really horrible case or heaven forbid died, and then people wake up saying, "Oh, I guess this is a real thing." It's hard. You know, if you hear about people going to parties in Girdwood. And, well, are any of those people going to get super sick? Oh, they didn't get super sick, so that proves nothing. Well, it was one party, you know, one incident. That's not very many people. But if you do that over and over and over again, you are going to have problems.
And, Kathy, life goes on. If people, this is going to be around for a while. Mm-hmm. So, looking ahead, you know, we're looking at schools reopening, I think. I don't know if it was unanimous school board or if you even took a vote, but I think consensus was to start August 18th and looking at different phases, different levels. Of course, people have had to go back to work.
So it's going to be harder to homeschool your kids if you aren't locked down too.
Yes. Yeah. And that, yeah. You know, I think everything kind of stopped, but going back to that point where we just stopped all of life, I don't think that's, you can't rein the horses back. You know, I don't think we can get back to that point. So what are some key points to remember as, well, you know, whatever you want to call it. I think people get, you know, reopened responsible. What, you know, they don't like the names or they don't like the politicians. Or so let's just not make it political.
It shouldn't be political. You know, Alaska was one of the few states that closed down before they had a problem. And so we didn't have much of a problem. We had a blurp and it went back down to zero. So we flattened the curve to zero or close to zero. But we did it with fairly draconian measures. You know, a lot of businesses were totally closed. People really stayed home. You know, the school was totally closed. And so this time around, the curve looks exactly the same. It's already higher than it was at the beginning. Why wouldn't we do this exactly the same thing again? Because it's hard on the economy. It's hard on the individuals who don't have jobs. It's hard on the kids to not be able to go to school. So trying to figure out a way to be able to open things up without doing that horrible of measures. And there's some that we know we're going to help, like everybody staying farther apart, everybody wearing a mask, everybody washing their hands. And so, you know, can your third grader wear a mask? Well, would they rather do that or would they rather stay home? Is it perfect? No, we'd love to have kids be able to play Ring Around the Rosie, but we're probably not going to play Ring Around the Rosie holding hands. You know, there are things that are easier to give up instead of going all the way back to having to be in your house. And we're trying really hard. And the other thing that will help is the testing and the contact tracing and whatever. But if it gets away from contact tracing, where you can't say, okay, you 10 people who are exposed, you stay home. If it starts to be like, we don't know where anybody got this from.
Well, and that's the idea of the circles problem. Is a lot of the reason is for the contact, ability to contact trace, right?
Exactly. So if we can contact trace, you can say these 10 people have to quarantine instead of everybody has to quarantine. And then if people aren't catching it as much, there's not as many contacts to trace and the public health people can keep up. But if you have the 60 person gathering and everybody shaking hands and hugging each other and inside as opposed to outside, all these things that could make it more likely to spread, that you can't do contact tracing. You're going to have to say everybody has to do that. And that'll be more of a problem.
To plan, you know, if someone, I want to get married or have a funeral, you know, all of these types of things. And there really is just not a timeline.
You know, the schools that are postponing it, you know, starting on August 18th versus later, some of those schools... you think about some of the Bush schools that have to change teachers every year because people don't come back. They're going to have time to train their teachers. They have to have time to get their computers up and running if they have computers. How are they going to do this? They really can't do a lot of that stuff
off the bat. Not all of them have the funding. And we're fairly fortunate we had computers that kids could take home.
Exactly. And so, you know, some teachers, I think putting it off to September is not because, it will all be gone by September. It's because we need more time to get our act together before we come back we need to have the teachers on. If you're going to go to some village that has none, that village might say, you teachers, why don't you have a big conference in Anchorage under quarantine before you come to our village? You know, like, why don't you do everything online for a while? We'll hire you, but not. We don't want the kids to contact you until then. And Valdez isn't like that, but
of the school board as well. The state has a lot of information and advice on what to do, how to do. But really, when it comes down to it, each district and each individual, a lot of people are going to need to kind of. There's not really a set plan for each. Individual thing, you have to kind of customize it to what you're like.
You have to go with the flow in terms, you know, we could have a plan for Valdez and we could have some, you know, outbreak and say, wait a minute, okay, it's just pinging around the community, like, let's just close school and go back to being online for 2 weeks. Oh, all the teachers got it. You know, you're going to have to do something different temporarily.
Each district has different ratios of students to teachers already.
I've been told that there's lots of people in Copper Center where the kids are taken care of by elders. And so they're very sensitive to let's make sure the kids stay you know, away from each other and careful. We got to be very careful because otherwise they'll take it all home to the elders, where that might not be true in some other community. And so every community is different, and with also with what level of risk they're willing to take. If you're from some little tiny village that you can only get there by air or snow machine, and the snow hasn't fallen yet, you might say, no, the teachers who have been in the lower 48 all this time, we want them quarantined before they come back. If you're in Valdez and people have been driving back and forth all the time, we have to accept a different level of risk. Anchorage may have to accept a totally different level of risk. And but Anchorage also has a whole bunch of hospitals to take care of that, and Shaktuli doesn't. So,
Definitely. People are going to have to spend a little, and I think that's every industry across the board. People are having to adapt and change, and it's hard. It takes it, you know, in addition to trying to run, you know, you run a medical clinic. So in addition to trying to keep your medical clinic running, you now have to go to all these meetings and read up on COVID, and you know, it just makes life a little bit crazier, I think, on every level.
The superintendent was saying one of the things he keeps getting asked is, when are you going to start? When are you going to start? Exactly what it's going to be like? I don't know exactly what it's going to be like in the middle of August. I don't know exactly what it's going to be like in the middle of November. I don't think anybody could possibly, we could do predictions based on statistical models, but nobody knows what it's going to be like, and how long is it going to last, and when are they going to get a vaccine, and when are they going to get a treatment? Unfortunately, this is a new virus in 2019, and nobody knows exactly. We thought that SARS number one and MERS were going to be horrible, and they turned it out to not be as horrible because they weren't as contagious as we thought they were going to be. This one's very contagious, but maybe not as bad. But we really don't know what's going to happen in 20 years to your lungs if you catch it. How can we know that? We can try to predict. This virus tends to cause a bunch of little clots. It messes up the clotting system. So some people's lung problems is not that it's their lungs have a bunch of junk in them, like mucus and stuff. That's less of a problem than having the blood vessels that go to the air passages blocked up by clots. So what does that mean? And it also does the same thing to your kidney. Are you going to have weaker kidneys? If you were planning on getting kidney failure from diabetes 30 years from now, is it going to be worse? How would anybody know that?
Because you're asymptomatic, you may go through that and not, might have some of these issues and not ever know if you are.
And not know, but then 30 years from now. Well,
what do you think about folks who say, hey, we just need to do testing? Everyone needs to be tested.
Well, they'd have to be tested over. If you could test the entire world simultaneously. No, let's just do everybody in the whole world simultaneously. Yeah, right. But if you could do that and you could say, okay, it's these 100,000 people that have it at this moment, and the test is perfect, by the way. Okay, no, you'd have to do it multiple times to make sure you didn't miss anybody by a false negative. But if you had a perfect test, you could do the whole world at once, you could get those people over it, and then we'd be fine. But that's not going to happen. You know, there's somebody in Africa that you would miss, and they would be out there, and then they would come and mingle with other people, and we'd be off to the races again. Of some of the places in Europe that, you know, they tested to say, oh gosh, do they have herd immunity? It's something, Switzerland was hit particularly hard, apparently, and so they tested everybody in, like almost everybody in Switzerland, a small country, they could get away with that. Yeah. And it's like 10% of the people that have had it, or maybe 20%. It's not everybody that had, you know, underground cases. No, it's not even close to that. So if they kind of let up on their social distancing, it's coming back and get the next round of people.
And there really isn't definitive data either, whether you're over it and you're over it or if it comes back or how many times it comes back. Right.
Yeah. So just to scare everybody silly. These are theories, not facts, but, maybe it'll be better because there's still people having it. And so even though your immunity isn't very good, you'll still keep getting exposed to it because somebody, your next door neighbor will catch it. And even though you've already had it, you'll kind of be exposed to your next door neighbor, and that'll be like a booster shot, so to speak, which sounds like a great idea, but nobody knows whether that is really going to work or not. You know, how long does your immunity last? If it doesn't last long enough, you could get it again the next round. So that's kind of scary. How often will you have to give the vaccine? Will the virus mutate like the flu does? So you'll have to get a new vaccine every year. Nobody knows that. And then there's some thought that there's a disease that's mostly in kids in the United Kingdom and the East Coast at the moment, where their immune systems just go crazy and overreact. So maybe being exposed to it for years and years and years isn't a good thing. Or maybe the virus on the East Coast is just different than the virus on the West Coast already. It's kind of like having two different kinds of flu and you have to catch them both. Nobody knows any of those things. All we can do is do our very best, and the information will keep coming out to be, to want to know exactly what's going to happen in November is just not in the cards.
And that brings us to the point, you know, you mentioned, you know, scare everyone silly. So I think to some extent that's happened. So, and now we're kind of seeing some repercussions of that in the mental health field. Also, it was funny, I saw in the Anchorage Daily News or kind of an article and about how people have not sought medical care. And it was kind of funny because they were kind of saying, you know, like, you know, people weren't so bright and they didn't seek medical care. Well, they were being told not to seek medical care. So
yeah, it's
the tone
different.
Of the article baffled me because, you know, it's where everyone's placing a lot of blame on all these different things. But the reality is there's a lot of repercussions economically and mentally. It's been huge. A lot of people concerned about increased alcohol usage. And so
domestic violence, if you have to be in your
in
apartment.
Alaska?
You know, don't know that. I don't know that. I'm sorry.
We're just anticipating. Statistics. I know here in Valdez, we opened up two extra crisis lines at AVV. I said, I didn't do it. But
yeah.
But kudos to them for doing that.
Yeah.
And largely it was to talk. People wanted an opportunity to talk. So at the very least, there's a lot of concern and things out there. How do we address that moving forward?
Well, I think partly we are grateful for what we have in Alaska in that we're not in New York City. And so being on, you know, trying to social distance is possible here. You can go out and have your bike ride with a friend and you're 6 feet apart and the wind's whistling past your face anyway. And it's not as closed down as it is in places that are where everybody's so close together to begin with. So we are so lucky to have that. And lucky to, you said it would have been a horrible winter if it had started earlier. It's really nice that it's spring and summer when we're doing this, because you can take your mask off when you get out of the store because there's hardly anybody there and you can be out on the sidewalk 6 feet from 6, 12, 15, 30 feet from everybody and not really be a problem. Mental health wise, there's both the people who are scared and the people who have said my only way to cope is to just ignore it. And hopefully there's a lot of people who can be in between there. Ignoring it really might mean that either a lot of people are going to be very sick that didn't have to, or it could mean that that we're going to have to close back down again, like really close back down again. And all these people are out of work again. And your kids are home and not really learning as well in school as they could have been. And then there's things in between. Wash your hands, wear your mask, stay 6 feet apart. Is that what school normally is? No, you're usually wrestling on the playground. Well, we don't wrestle anymore. We play Frisbee instead. And then we wash our hands. You know, is that really too much to give up? To give up on wrestling, I don't think that's too much to give up. I'm not.
Someone out there is saying yes, but it's going to be difficult because, and a lot of people are going to be in difficult decisions, in positions. You know, I know a lot of people are disappointed. Many of the events are canceled, but
yeah,
I feel for the people making those decisions because it is, you know, here in Valdez especially, many of these events are put on by people in their spare time because they love it and they're bringing something to the community, and then
people
to see people attack them for not doing it. Thank you for doing it. I just
want to
say publicly, thank you very much, all of the organizers, all of the people who put on events.
And some of them put out a lot of work for the whole year round, and then they come up to the very end and don't do it, but they still put in all that work.
So I appreciate you and thank you for what you've done in the past. And understand that it's difficult to navigate the rules. And, you know, at some point, whether you made the decision due to safety or because it's just too hard to do, just thank you for doing it in the past. And, hopefully folks are understanding of that. It's a different year. And,
we hope this will all blow over and we'll be back to the old normal any minute now, but it won't be any minute now. It'll be months. But even if we don't go back to the old normal, people are thinking really hard on how to make the new normal. You know, maybe you don't have everybody congregate at the beginning of a race and be in this big wad of people. Maybe you make it a timed start and everybody has to wait 6 feet apart instead of right next to each other. But you still get to do it. Or, you know, how is it that you do the marketplace at the Gold Rush that's not quite as crowded, but still happens. There could be all kinds of things that we will come up with.
Well, and some things will go away because just the nature of the beast, what their business is or what have you, is not, you know, it's been difficult for restaurants because, sure, 6 feet away, but there's something called turning tables and having enough people in your restaurant to make a profit. And
exactly.
It's been very difficult.
But somebody was saying, you know, think about it. There's a lot of these restaurants have come up with a way so that you can order and have it already hot. They've figured out how to do takeout. And so, you know, there's no waitress. The waitress job just went away, unfortunately. But the people who deliver it or who get it ready for you and make it pretty so that you can take it home to your own smaller gathering.
The innovation has been amazing. Yeah. And even in our little town, because, you know, most of these people who are coming up with these innovations, and probably you yourself, you know, they're doing their own books. They're doing, those are all the things people don't know about or see in a smaller, you know, in a bigger area.
Yeah.
That may not be the case. But
anyway,
here, they're really busy to begin with.
There was a thing on NPR that said, you know, people are starting to spend again because as they get out of isolation. And so the economy is taking off, but not the middle, like the people who are spending every dollar on the necessities of life are back to spending every dollar on the necessities of life now that the store's open. But the people with the income that they can use how they like, especially the city people who used to go out to a restaurant, they're not spending that money. And not necessarily because they're afraid of the stock market. It's just that they can't figure out how to do it. Well, order the food, tip like you would have in the restaurant, and because those people are working just as hard to bring it to you. And
that's another area.
Go out to the restaurant
fortunate.
Instead of necessarily
because I think
cooking.
Valdez has been supportive. A lot of the public has been very, very supportive of the businesses. So
and they also have to give kudos to like CVA, who didn't hand out money to the people. They handed out coupon to go use this at a local business. And I hope everybody's taking advantage of that. That's an amazing thing to do.
All right. Well, I know you had a procedure to do this morning, and didn't have a lot of time, but appreciate talking.
Thanks for the time
coming on in.
Appreciate it.